Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Thursday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys here on this Thursday. NBA Finals Day, Game 1, OKC, Indiana. Feels like we've been waiting forever for this series to get kicked off. But now, tonight, we finally get Game 1. It's going to be awesome. We're hoping to have Ryland Stiles join us today of Locked On Thunder podcast to get his thoughts on Game 1. We'd love to get his thoughts on OKC, obviously their preparation, the vibe right now in the city, and what to expect on their side of things as they get ready for the Indiana Pacers. So we'll dive in to that Game 1. We'll dive into that series throughout the show today. Also, we'll dive into Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. We had Oilers and Panthers last night in a great Game 1. Goes to overtime. Draisaitl with a couple goals. Sam Bennett with a couple goals. Unfortunately, our Florida Game 1 bet didn't hit. It looked good when they were up 3-1, but then they gave up that goal right away to make it 3-2. And unfortunately, they lose 4-3. But we'll bounce back in Game 2. We'll give some opening thoughts on that as well. And then it is a Thursday. We've been doing this here throughout the offseason. Obviously, got to talk some football. So we'll look at some of the futures today, some NFL exotics with some quarterbacks. I'll tell you guys, five quarterback props, whether it's passing touchdowns, passing yards, what I like. So we'll dive in to that market. Then we got a pretty good baseball slate on this Thursday as well. We got some games that are going to be going on here during the show, but we also got some games coming up later today. We'll give out some best bets there in Major League Baseball as well. And then we'll wrap the show with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. And please do hit us up because don't know if Ryland is going to join us today. Hopefully he does, but would love to hear from you guys. Any questions, any comments that you have would be much appreciated. But let's kick things off here on Send It In as Glass is in session on this Thursday by talking about Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. We have the Panthers and the Oilers, pretty much the same line as what it was in Game 1. Edmonton about a minus 130 favorite. Panthers are plus 110. The total, though, drops to 6, which is interesting, right? Obviously, it was 6.5 in Game 1. Now it's down to 6 here in Game 2, which I think makes sense, and it's going to be part of the handicap for me tonight in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. I mean, you watch the start of last night's game between Edmonton and Florida, and certainly jitters on both sides, right? Both goaltenders definitely a little bit shaky. You had Edmonton score a goal in the first minute of the game, and then Stuart Skinner was not great after that, let in two goals in the first period as well. Probably shouldn't have been counted one goal because there looked like there was goalie interference, but nonetheless, had a high-scoring first period. We had three total goals. Both goalies didn't look great. Defenses were a little bit shaky on both sides, especially Edmonton as well. But then you started to see the game settle in, right? Third period, we only had the one goal. Overtime, it took us a little bit before we got that game winner from Draisaitl. So it felt like once both teams kind of settled in, once both teams kind of got their legs under them, they were good for a majority of the game, and you saw that. So I think it makes sense why you're not getting the half anymore from BetMGM, the 6.5 in game two, while it's only 6. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I would honestly look under, you guys. We talked about this previewing the series, right? Feels like if you like the over in these games, you bet Edmonton. If you like the under, maybe look at Florida, and that's the way things went in game one, 4-3. The over cashes, Edmonton wins that game. So I like the under in game two. I like under 6, and I also like Florida at +110. I think if you're the Panthers, you definitely have to feel like one slipped away, right? You're up 3-1 yesterday, midway through the second period, give up that goal right away after you get the 2-goal lead. But I think they have to like a lot of the things that they did, and I think they're going to bounce back. Such a resilient team over these last few years in the playoffs. They've been so good on the road this year in the postseason. I think they bounce back. So I like Florida +110, and I like the under in that game as well. And then something that is interesting to me right now as well, looking futures market in the NHL, Panthers on the series spread +1.5 is -105. I think that's super interesting, because I do think this series probably goes 7 games. And obviously, if it goes 7 games, regardless of who wins game 7, you're going to cash your bet at +1.5 series spread. So this is why I love sometimes waiting on some of these series prices. I obviously thought that the Panthers were going to win last night, and we were going to get plus money on the Oilers to win this series. But now that we have the Oilers winning game 1, now we get some value on the Panthers series spread at +1.5 at -105. So a lot of different ways that you can attack game 2, but I do like under 6, and I like the Panthers to bounce back at +110. As for game 1 tonight in the NBA Finals, we talked about it yesterday. We posted a lot of social clips on Instagram and Twitter yesterday about my thoughts on game 1. I wish I had a definitive play for you guys. I wish I had a play that I absolutely love, but I really think this game's going to go one of two ways. I think you take Indiana on the money line, like we've been talking about, and you're starting to get even better and better numbers. Earlier in the week, it was +310 Indiana money line. Now it's all the way up to +350. So I would either take Indiana outright, or I would bet OKC alt lines. I wouldn't lay the 9.5. I would lay like 15.5. I would lay 19.5, 24.5. I'd lay alt lines with OKC or take Indiana money line, because I think that's the way this game's going to go. I don't think OKC is going to win like a close game by 3 points or by 6 points. I think either the Pacers win outright, or I think OKC blows them out. And it's because both of these teams are so tough to prepare for in a game one. OKC, my favorite stat going into this NBA Finals, they went 29-1 in the regular season this year against the Eastern Conference. 29-1. They were unbelievable against the East, and I think a big reason for that, their defense is as good as we've seen in a while in the NBA, right? Especially nowadays with all these high-scoring games and all these great offenses, OKC's defense is awesome. And these Eastern Conference teams that only get to see them, you know, twice a year, and you know, a lot of the starters, because they know when they play OKC, they're probably going to lose. They kind of just use that as like a rest day, or they kind of use that as their load management day. They really don't get to see OKC like twice at full strength, like these Western Conference teams do when they play them 3 or 4 times in the regular season, and then they get to see them in the playoffs as well. So when OKC goes against these East teams, man, that don't get to see them a lot, they have been dominating them on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that's a big adjustment tonight for Indiana. We know what's so great about Indiana. We talk about their pace all the time and how controlled their chaos is, and they don't turn the ball over. So if Indiana tonight, not really getting a lot of reps yet against this tenacious OKC defense, if their offense is still able to play at the level that we've been seeing throughout this postseason, what we saw much of last postseason, if they're able to push the pace, get in their rhythm, get in their flow, play their game, knock down their shots, and not turn the ball over, I think they have a great shot of winning this game tonight. On the flip side, if OKC's defense does tonight what I think a lot of people are expecting them to do in this series, then it's going to be a long night for Indiana. So I would look at OKC alt spreads tonight. I think either they blow them out, or I think Indiana wins outright. That's how I'd break down the game. OKC undefeated so far this postseason when they score more than 110 points, which is why, again, I like the alt lines, because I think if OKC wins tonight, it's like a 114 89 kind of game. Whereas if Indiana wins, I think it's going to be like a 121 to 118 kind of game. So I would look at those two things. As for some player props, TJ McConnell under 7.5 points. I love it. Can shop around. You can get under 6.5 points at a better price as well. I like all those. I don't think McConnell's getting more than six points in tonight's game. He's only going to play probably about 14 to 15 minutes. And we know when he comes off the bench, he's looking to score. He's looking to push the pace, and he's looking to attack, get the other team in foul trouble, trying to tire them out. He's maximizing his minutes when he's out on the floor. This is like his worst possible matchup, though, because Indiana, they're such a deep team, and the problem is, so is Oklahoma City, and their guards, man, they're so good on defense, and they're so deep. They're really tough to deal with. So I think this matchup specifically for McConnell is just not a good one. The Knicks matchup is awesome, and that's why we kept betting his over points every single night. This matchup against OKC and their defense is really difficult. So it's going to be tough on McConnell throughout this series. I would expect this number to continue to drop, but I do like under 7.5 points for TJ McConnell tonight at minus 135. I also like Ben Shepherd over a half a three-pointer at minus 120 tonight against OKC. Ben Shepherd's another guy like McConnell who's not going to play all that much, but when he does, he's going to be out there looking to hunt his shot. He's going to be shooting a lot of threes. And we know OKC, I should say, in their series against Minnesota, gave up a lot of three-pointers. I think at times they'll be willing to give up some three-pointers to Indiana as well, outside of maybe Nesmith. So Shepherd should get some looks from downtown tonight. Just need one three-pointer out of him. Minus 120, I think that's a great look. And then also there's a BetMGM special tonight that I like for the NBA Finals that I would take a look at. Both teams to not score 50 or more points in the first half is plus 140 tonight on BetMGM. Just talked about it with the Stanley Cup final last night, right? Both goaltenders a little shaky, a lot of nerves. Well, how about tonight's game in the NBA Finals? Pretty much all the guys out on the floor are getting their first taste of NBA Finals experience, so I certainly think there's going to be some nerves. I think there's going to be a little bit overamped. I would expect a lot of jump shots to hit the back iron, maybe be a little too long. You know, everybody just so hyped to play in the finals. I think that all kind of leads towards a first half under. Now, this total, man, is high, right, at 230. So I'd probably look at full game under as well. I think there could be some points, though, potentially in the second half. But first half, both teams scoring more than 50 points, I would take the no on that BetMGM special at plus 140. So I think that's a good look in that one. All right, we got a promo from our friends at BetMGM. NBA Finals No Sweat Token. Grab the rock, take your shot with an NBA Finals No Sweat Token. If you don't win, get your stake back in bonus bets. And Shawnee Sharp, I believe our guy John Ewing has some betting splits, some of the most popular things going in to the NBA Finals that we have tonight, right, in Game 1?
Yes, Peach. He does. Let me run through some of these for you right now. Let me put myself on the screen here, full screen. So since 2005, teams getting 50% of the bets in the NBA Final games have gone 47, 60, and 2, 44% against the spread. It's according to BetLab. 62% of the bets are on Pacers +9.5 at the Thunder. OKC against the spread in the NBA playoffs this year. At home, they're 7-2 against the spread. On the road, they're 0-7 against the spread. Thunder are obviously -9.5 against the Pacers in Game 1. The Pacers are 7-0 in the playoffs when Tyrese Halliburton scores 20 points or more. Tyrese to score 20 tonight is +125 at BetMGM. Obviously, the Pacers are +350. On the money line, a $100 parlay of those two combined would win you $600 if that interests you, PJ. Some other things here. Most bet tickets for player props here for the Thunder Pacers game one. Number five, Pascal Siakam under 19.5 points. SGA first field goal at +525. SGA under 7.5 assists. Tyrese Halliburton under 26.5 points and combined with assists. And then the number one most bet player prop over at BetMGM, Tyrese Halliburton under 9.5 assists. And then the last thing, some updated lines here from John Ewing over at BetMGM. OKC opened at 8.5, obviously now at 9.5, 38% of the bets, 44% of the money on the Thunder. Total opened up at 230.5. No movement there. 59% of the bets and 62% of the money are on the over. Pacers opened at +300, are now +350. 80% of the bets and 53% of the money are on the Pacers. And I am totally not biased when I say yes, sirs. And why not? Mm-hmm.
There you go. Rock that hat proud, Shawnee Sharp there in Indianapolis. Yeah, look, the props tonight in that game I think are going to be tough because of what we're talking about. I think Indiana wins or I think OKC blows them out. So if OKC blows them out, their starters only might play like 25, 30 minutes and some of your props might not hit. So going to be a difficult night. People like Halliburton under assist. I think that's a little dangerous going there against Tyrese. Might be looking to get his teammates involved, build them some confidence in game one of the NBA Finals. All right, you guys got some questions here in the chat. I appreciate it. B Mills, hey, Pete, so far for baseball, Royals team total over 3.5 in game one, -125. Tigers first five team total over 2.5, +100. And Kyle Schwarber, two or more hits, runs, RBIs at -105. Love the Schwarber play. We're going to talk about this, B-Mills, when we get into big league Peach with Chris Bassett today going up against the Phillies. But obviously with his time with the Mets, you have some guys in that Philadelphia order that have faced him a good amount of times. Schwarber's one of these guys that has great history against him, 7-for-16 in his career. Obviously have a very good season for Philadelphia. So I like that Schwarber look. I like the Tigers look as well. Their offense finally started to get going a little bit late in that game last night against the White Sox. I think that carries over into today's first couple innings, so I like that play. And then Royals team total over. Why not? Cags is in the lineup. They scored 10 runs the other night. You get an off day, bounce back. So I think that could be a good look as well. Vladdy to score a run, -110, has been a cash cow. That's great to know, and it's still a great price. So I don't think the books have caught on to that. And then Brian Wu, six or more Ks at -115. I think that's probably a good play. The Orioles are obviously playing well. They've won 5 in a row, 8 of their last 10. But it's really been about their pitching. Their offense, still, even though they're getting better, haven't quite taken off. They're still striking out a decent amount. We know Wu's got that great fastball. So I think that is a good look. PJ, any live looks on Rory after his first over round, or just stay away? I'm staying away, B-Mills. Rory had a press conference, you guys, earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, talking about how after winning the Grand Slam, he admitted that, like, he feels like it's tougher to, like, grind on the range, you know, hit balls for 3-4 hours, which, I mean, makes sense. Like, he completed the Grand Slam, right? I mean, what really else is there to do for Rory? And if, like, that's his mindset, that it's become tougher for him to, like, grind because he won the Masters and he won the Grand Slam at these kind of, like, events, right? Maybe we can get to the majors, it's a different story. But at these events where maybe he would show up and we thought he'd give it his all, that might not be the case anymore. So I'm staying away from Rory. Thought he'd play much better today and much better in this tournament. I don't know if that's going to be the case anymore. And then Reed Phillips Rapp, Brian Wu versus the O's. Can he do over 18.5 at plus money? They're going to need it, Reed. Obviously, the O's are trying to go for the sweep today. Seattle, good favorite at -150. I think it's going to be tough for the O's to do that. So I would certainly look at Brian Wu props today. B-Mills, you're on his strikeouts. Reed, you're on the overouts. I do think Wu pitches well. Both starters for Seattle in this series, Kirby and then Hancock yesterday, I mean, both guys pitched pretty well. It was just the O's kind of in the late innings scoring and winning those games. So I think Wu should pitch well again today for Seattle. All right, before we talk some more baseball, get into our plays, you guys, let's talk some NFL. Little PJ pick five. Five bets that I got for you guys, some futures on some of these quarterbacks for the upcoming season that I really like. First one, we're going to start with Geno Smith, over 3,675.5 passing yards for the upcoming season. As you guys know, I'm high on the Raiders this season. I think over 6.5 wins is a great look. I think this potentially could be one of the surprise teams in the NFL that maybe compete for a playoff spot. Pete Carroll's 73 years old. You know, he didn't come back to the NFL to win 6 games. He thinks with this situation that he's in, with the roster that he has, trading for Geno Smith, they have a plan to try and be competitive. I know the division obviously is difficult, but I think the Raiders are going to be competitive this year, and I think Geno's going to have a very good season. But why I'm high on Geno this year, you guys, and I've talked about this before, Geno Smith, when he plays in a dome, is awesome. Talk about golf. You know, some of these guys like the splits when they're outdoors, when they're at home. Really don't talk about it with Geno. But when he was with the Seahawks, he played 14 career road games indoors. In those games, 30 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and a 110.8 passer rating. He's normally really good when he's inside, and obviously now playing in Vegas, all his home games are going to be indoors. He's going to play 12 games this season inside, so that is a huge benefit for Geno Smith this year. The reason I'm going with the passing yards and not the passing touchdowns is because, again, they still don't have a great receiving core. You know, it's Jacoby Myers, it's Trey Tucker. There's really not much there to work with, but they do have Bowers and they do have Genty, who should rack up a ton of yards this season for the Raiders. So that's why I like the passing yards for Geno, man, because I think this is going to be one of those teams that are going to settle for a lot of field goals. Like, I would look, I think Carlson's still a Raiders kicker. I got to double check on that. But whoever their kicker is could be a great option this season in fantasy football. I love Geno to throw for a bunch of yards. I think he could get to 4,000 this season. I think Genty's going to have a great year as a receiving back. Certainly Bowers as well. But the key for me is that Geno is playing for a team now where his home games are indoors. And throughout his career, especially with Seattle, he was always great in a dome. So give me Geno Smith over 3,675.5 yards at plus 100 as my first play. Shawnee Sharp tells me Carlson still is the kicker for the Raiders. So yes, I do like him a lot this year in fantasy. Coming up number two for me, Dak Prescott over 23.5 passing touchdowns at minus 110 this year for the Cowboys. So obviously Dak's coming off the injury, right? That is the big concern. How is he going to look? Is he going to get back to his MVP form that he showed a couple years ago? I think this number, though, is too low. The last 3 years that Dak has played a full season, he has thrown for 30 or more touchdowns. And we're, again, it's only at 23.5. That's the risk you run when you bet season-long overs, especially in the NFL. Injuries are always going to play a factor, and it's probably baked into the number a little bit. But now with the addition of George Pickens, and you have Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, two guys that are great at the 50-50 ball, winning their one-on-one matchups, should be great targets for him in the red zone along with Jake Ferguson. If Dak stays healthy, you guys, I think he should have another 30 or more passing touchdown season. Schottenheimer now obviously takes over as the head coach. When he was there helping McCarthy with the offense, we saw early on in the season when Dak was out there, Dallas was slinging the ball all over the field, man. And they really haven't done much to address the running back room. It's still like Javonte Williams as their lead guy, so nothing special. They're going to lean on Dak. They're paying him the most amount of money of any player in the NFL. They got him another weapon in George Pickens. Like, Dak's got to show up this year, and if he stays healthy, I think he's going over 23.5 passing yards, so I like that play for him. Number three for me, how about Jared Goff under 28.5 passing touchdowns at minus 120? So I really like going under here for Jared Goff, and there are three big reasons. The first one is going to be that he just lost his center, Frank Ragnow, is one of the best in the NFL, to retirement. And when you're a guy like Jared Goff, who's not a mobile quarterback, Tom Brady would talk about this all the time, the place where you do not want to get pressure from the defensive line is straight up the middle. And now that he's lost his center, that is a big loss for Jared Goff. Number two, obviously the loss of Ben Johnson, right? We've seen Jared Goff throughout his career, when he is coached by guys that are not offensive geniuses, he tends to struggle. When he started his career with Jeff Fisher, he looked like he was going to be a bust. But then he gets with Sean McVay, and he looks pretty good. Then he has some years where he doesn't look all that great, pairs up with Ben Johnson, then all of a sudden, he looks amazing. The weapons are still there, but I think Ben Johnson calling plays is really going to make a big difference. So that is a concern for me. And then the third reason why I like Goff under 28.5 passing touchdowns is going to be much like Geno. The fact that Goff's schedule this year is not as advantageous as it was for him last year. He's going to play six games this year where he is outdoors. And in those games, the Lions are certainly going to try and run the football and try and take the ball away from Goff as much as they can, because we know when Goff is outdoors, he tends to struggle much more than when he's indoors. So Jared Goff under 28.5 passing touchdowns. No more Frank Ragnow at center. No more Ben Johnson. Six games outdoors under 28.5 for Jared Goff. How about Patrick Mahomes? We're going over 27.5 passing touchdowns for him this season. I think Mahomes, you guys, last couple years for Kansas City, I mean, let's be honest. It's felt like they're just kind of doing enough to get by, right? They just kind of want to breeze through the regular season, avoid the major injuries, get to the playoffs, and then flip on a new gear. It feels like this year could be a little different, though, and the odds are reflecting that with Kansas City. They aren't like minus 250, minus 350 anymore to win the AFC West. We know the Broncos are getting better. The Chargers are getting better. The Raiders are getting better. And I think the last 2 years, Kansas City's offense has struggled in the regular season. Mahomes has thrown 26 and 27 touchdowns the last 2 years. Now you have a full year of Hollywood. Rashee Rice is going to be back. Year two is Xavier Worthy. Obviously, Kelsey's on the decline. He's not the player that he once was, but I think Mahomes is going to have at least 30 passing touchdowns this season, so I would take his over. And then finally, Drake May. We're going to go under 3,300.5 passing yards for Drake May this season for New England. Mike Vrabel is now the head coach for the Patriots, and when we watch Mike Vrabel's teams play in Tennessee, what do you think of, right? You think Derrick Henry running the football, and you think great defense. Ryan Tannehill was good in that offense for a couple years because of the play-action game of Derrick Henry and because A.J. Brown is a yak machine. Well, he doesn't have that kind of guy at a receiver for New England, right? Diggs isn't that dude. Kendrick Bourne isn't that dude. Like, they don't have guys that can make play, that can make plays after the catch. They don't have any really great deep threats. So they drafted Travion Henderson. You got Ramondre Stevenson. You got a decent defense. That's going to be the Patriots' DNA this year. It's going to be running the football. It's going to be good defense. They're not going to go four wide, five wide, and ask Drake May to sling it 40 times a game. I like under 3,330 yards for Drake May this season. So those are my five NFL quarterback futures that I love this season, you guys. Geno over yards, Dak over touchdowns, Jared Goff under touchdowns, Mahomes over touchdowns, and Drake May under passing yards. All right, let's get to some best bets here in Major League Baseball. I see you guys got some more questions. I love it. Get into it here in a moment. So we got, yeah, game one of that doubleheader between Royals and Cardinals today. And we have Cole Reagans now is going to be the new pitcher. It was going to be Noah Cameron. Now they're going with Reagans, who's back for Kansas City. That's a big deal. I'm going to pass. Reagans coming back from injury. Don't want to touch that game. Tigers and White Sox. B-Mills, you had that play with the Tigers. Team total over 2.5 in the first five. Think that's a good look, but nothing for me in that game. Phillies and Blue Jays. So I told you guys, there are a lot of hitters on Philly that have a good history against Chris Bassitt and Toronto. Schwarber's one of them. Castellanos, another 10 for 31 in his career. But for me, this is about Lizardo bouncing back today and why I like Philadelphia on the money line. Lizardo had one of the worst outings of the season and one of the worst that you'll see all year. He pitched 3 1/3 against Milwaukee in his last start, gave up 12 hits and 12 earned runs. He's had an awesome year other than that last start. I think he brushes it off. I think he pitches well today against Toronto, so we'll take Lizardo and the Phillies at minus 120. Twins and Athletics today in Sacramento. It's a day game out there in Sactown. Think we got to take the over 10 runs with Mitch Spence and David Festa. Orioles and Mariners. Guys, the O's are playing well. Can they get a sweep today, though, against Seattle? I don't see it. Give me the Mariners at minus 150. Padres and Giants, awesome pitching matchup. Dylan Cease and Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is in the NL Cy Young conversation. He's been unreal for the Giants so far this season. 7-1 record, 2.43 ERA. And a 1.89 ERA at home, giving the Giants a minus 120. Mets and Dodgers, I think the Mets are starting to turn a lot of heads with the way that they're playing out in LA so far this series. You got David Peterson against Logan Knack. I'm going to take the Dodgers today, get the split in the four-game series at minus 125. Astros and Pirates in Pittsburgh today. Mitch Keller and Framber Valdez. Good pitching matchup between those two. I'm going to go under 7.5 runs. Cubs and Nationals in D.C. Colin Ray against Jake Irvin today. Nats are plus 115 on the money line. Pomeranz has been very good in 13 1/3 innings pitched so far this season. Has not given up a run. Totals at 9.5 though today. Jake Irvin's been okay as well. I think some regression sets in for Pomeranz. I'm going to take the over in that one. Yankees a minus 275 favorite today with Max Fried on the mound. That is just way too high. Nothing I can do with that one. I'm staying away. And then Rangers and Rays today in Tampa. I keep waiting for Texas to turn the corner and they're just not doing it. So I can't bet Texas. It would be Tampa or pass for me today at minus 145. All right, some questions for you guys before we give out our final best bets of the day. B-Mills, one last question, Peach. Going to, but is there a debate on SGA over under 1.5 threes made? I would probably go under, B-Mills, if I had to, but I think I would stay away from that. Who scores the first basket tonight? Ooh, that's a good question, Reed. I will go with Chet Holmgren scores the first basket of the game tonight, and then you're back on the Cags bandwagon tonight. Two total bases at plus 145. I love it. Everybody was on him in his first game. Doesn't feel like we're talking about it as much today. I think a good day to jump on Cags. Reed, I'm with you. I like that play, plus 145 at two or more total bases. All right, you guys, our favorite plays of the day. We're going Kyle Schwarber going streaking, 7 for 16 in his career against Chris Bassett. He's going to be my play for today. TJ McConnell under 7.5 points against OKC is going to be my prop lock of the day. Pacers plus 350 is going to be my dog of the day against OKC. I think Indiana's got a great shot of winning that game outright tonight. And then the Giants on the money line minus 120 against the Padres, going to be my best bet. Robbie Ray at home. Giants don't lose, and Robbie Ray's on the bump. Give me San Francisco at minus 120. Getting some breaking news, too, from our guy Sean. Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox ownership have an agreement and a framework to attain a future controlling interest in the White Sox. So it looks like maybe some new ownership there for the White Sox. Sean, congrats to you and all the other White Sox fans there. Let's go Pacers. Hopefully they pull the upset tonight. The San Francisco Giants as well. Appreciate you guys helping me out. Put some questions in the chat. We will wrap up the week tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.